Thank you, Tony.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Eva. Marchant. We are coming to the end of a series of messages. I've got another few things in mind that I think would be good to be a part of this series of messages. We began with choose. Make your choice. Are you going to go with God, or are you going to line up with the culture and just be in the wind with the culture and then shine what Jesus told his followers, that he wanted his followers to be a light to the world and to engage with the world and also to make a difference for the kingdom of God's sake, and then forgive, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Part of that was recognizing God's forgiveness for us and extending that forgiveness to others. It's interesting. I think we touched on it last week. We concluded a message, the second part of it, about praying, where when Jesus taught about how to pray, the very thing he doubled up on or doubled down on was about forgiving others. You can read it there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And then abide, where Jesus told his followers to remain in him, to stay connected to him. John chapter 15, the message tell from 1 Peter chapter 3, where we all are encouraged to be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks us for the reason of the hope that we have. And I heard a very important challenge just this week for us as believers in the present time we live in. And I want to ask you to really get a hold of this, because I think it can change our outlook on things. And the thing was this: not to make our mission field our political enemies. And that's a thing we have to be careful for, and that is that we do not turn the field that we have been called to be a witness to into political enemies, because it changes the whole dynamic. And that's an important distinction that followers of Christ should really should pay attention to, and especially in this time that we live in, the polarization. So tell, we know we are to tell others about what we have in Christ. And then last 2 weeks we spoke about praying, and that we should be praying. So what should we be doing? Believers all throughout the history of the church, and from that time Jesus gathered his disciples and sent them out, have been doing these very things. And no matter what the political climate, no matter what the financial or economic landscape looks like, followers of Jesus Christ are directed to do these things, and that's why we're really putting our attention on them. Today I want to speak about the subject of endure. This is a one-word title for these messages, and we're going to be looking today at the word endure, persevering, resilience, and commitment, these things in following Christ. And there's quite a bit in our New Testament that speaks about enduring. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12, begin there, verses 1 through 3. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together in a free land, Lord, where we do not have to hide in basements or out in a forest to worship you, but we can freely raise our voices to give thanks to you, to open our Bibles and to be instructed from your word. And Lord, we can also speak and give testimony and tell what you've done in our lives. And Lord, please help us as we turn our attention once again to your word, and we ask that you speak to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read here Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. I could read on, but I get fixed on that passage there, particularly verse 1, where it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." We see the word endurance. We spoke about similar words, the word persevering, and resilience. And you can't help but think of that when you think of the word commitment. A few years back, a book was published that created a stir. It was a bestseller in 2018. It was the culmination of years of research and questions that were asked of thousands of people to try to determine what was the reason for high achievement and successful outcomes. Teachers working in some of the nation's toughest schools, cadets who were struggling through their first days at the West Point Academy, to young finalists in the National Spelling Bee. It included also professional athletes and their coaches, Fortune 500 CEOs, and university professors. What was discovered was this, that it was not always talent, not always genius, not always IQ, not always wealth or race or physical prowess. As helpful as these things might be, the answer more often than not was this, a combination of passion and perseverance. A combination of passion, meaning this, a deep enduring knowledge for what that person valued. What did they value? What did they want? They had passion for. And then secondly, perseverance, a combination of these. Hard work and resilience, moving in a direction with consistency. That combination of passion and perseverance, the ability to stick with a difficult task, not for weeks or months, but for years and even decades. The researcher called this combination of passion and perseverance, she called it grit. Her name was Angela Duckworth. You can look that up. She wrote this book called Grit, and that's the very title of it. And you know what it does? It speaks to the need for endurance and perseverance and resilience in our lives following Christ. It is needed as well. I want to go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. If you've got your Bibles open there to chapter 12, just move back a couple of chapters towards the beginning. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, I'm going to read verses 32 through 36. As you know, we studied chapter by chapter the book of Hebrews back several months ago, and we covered this same chapter. But in this chapter, the writer is speaking to people who were enduring persecution and hard times because of their life as a follower of Christ. And here's what the writer says. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. And here's the verse here to really take a look at. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. Patient endurance is what we need. And that we speak about that. We talk about passion and perseverance in our lives as followers of Christ. In this passage we read from Hebrews chapter 12, just verses 1 through 3, there are some foundations for enduring, some foundations, namely two. And the first one is this, looking around to those that we are responsible to and those that we are responsible for. What are some foundations for enduring in our life following Jesus Christ, trying to do His will? One is looking around to those that we are responsible to and also those that we are responsible for. In reading chapter 12, let me just read here verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And he goes on to say, let us run with endurance the race that God has set for us. But who are these witnesses that he's speaking about? Who are these that look on to this race that we're running? Well, you can find the answer in the chapter just before it, chapter 11. It's called the chapter of faith, and we've spent some time on that. But it traces the Christian, the believer's spiritual heritage. For those who believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him, we read in that list from Abel through Abraham, on through Moses and David and the prophets. And last week, I think I made mention of this, but I feel like it'd be helpful to really kind of point to it and let you see it again, because I think it's one of the most valuable lessons for people who follow Christ. And let's take a look at verse 33 of chapter 11. It begins by listing all these folks that you know their names. It says, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of their sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. Now, that sounds like good times, doesn't it? It sounds like we're winning here. This is victory. This is what victory looks like. But let's read on. In the very next verse, it says here, "But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at. Their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning, some sawn in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground." But look at verse 39. What does it say? "All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith." So those who had faith and saw victory, and those who had faith in God, and the outcomes were not the same. You know what? It says God recognized their faith, and they continued on, in spite of the fact that they were not victorious. And so these are the witnesses that we read about. And, you know, it is pointing us to this, to keep these in mind as we run our own race, as you and I have our life to follow Christ. We take a look at those who are faithful through good and through bad and continue to do what God called them to do, even though the outcomes didn't turn out maybe exactly like they wanted to. You know, I remember hearing this statement years ago, and I think it's an important one. It says, "This thing of the Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint." You know what a marathon is, don't you? 26.2 grueling miles. It just so happens that our middle child, Andy, and his wife are training for the Chicago Marathon next month. In fact, we're going to be having our own marathon and rounding those three little kids up and keeping them from killing themselves. And Andy told me the other day, he said that he hit 20 miles running. That's running without stopping. That's running without getting in a car and riding in the car the rest of the way home. And he's lost a toenail. His big toe just got rid of its toenail because of it. And he said that the way that they are told to do it is to build yourself up till you hit about 20 miles and don't go any farther. On race day, just you running in the race, you hope to carry you across the finish line. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You don't go out there 50 yards and say, "Whew, done with that." And you know, this thing of following Christ, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And what we're talking about today is endurance and perseverance and what the Bible has to say about it. And one of the foundations for us enduring is looking around to those we are responsible to. But you know, at the head of all those names is our Savior. Let's read here in this same passage, Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "We do this, verse 2, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." So we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. And you know, I don't know how many times we hear it, but it's worth hearing once again. Friends, don't set your eyes on other Christians. You and I can learn from other believers. We can learn what to do, and we can learn what not to do, can't we? But let's keep our eyes on the very one who initiated this life with him. And he also, it says, he will perfect it. He will perfect that which concerns. He will bring us to maturity. You know, he wants you and I to show up in the process. But we are to keep our eyes on him so that we don't get weary and give up. I can't help but think of another name that you know well, and that's the Apostle Paul. And I want to read you here a passage. If you want to follow in your Bibles, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul went through a lot because of his faith. In fact, in this chapter, he's having to defend his authority as an apostle, as a God-called messenger. And there were those who had all kinds of negative and critical things to say about Paul. You can read about it there. But Paul is having to defend his authority to say, hey, here is what I'm about, in my following the Savior. I want to read you what he went through. We're talking about endurance here. In chapter 11, verse 24, he says this, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. What if Paul had said, you know, I didn't sign up for all this. I'm out of here. And so Paul is writing not to say, hey, look at me. What he's saying is, I am serious about my life and following Christ. Paul's looked around also to the responsibility that he had to others. In verse 28, we read it there. Besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. And you know, when we endure, we look around, we recognize, we persevere, we push on through because we realize that other people look to us. We have a responsibility. We are our brother's keepers, and we are to care about the well-being of those that we live amongst, all right? So the foundation there is to look around, but also to look ahead. It's the second part of this foundation that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12, to look ahead. And what do we look ahead to? We look ahead to the reward for persevering. I want to read you a couple passages, the same Paul who wrote what we just read there. Let me read here what he had in mind and why he continued to persevere and to endure. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. He says this, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for what? An eternal prize. We do it for an eternal prize. Paul was very likely pointing to what they call the Isthmian Games, similar to our Olympics that they had every so often in that region. And the top prize was to win a laurel wreath. And as you know, if you ever have flowers and cut flowers come in your home, sooner or later it wilts, doesn't it? But Paul is saying people run for the applause and the recognition and that laurel wreath he was referencing. But he said, we who follow our Savior, we look forward to an eternal prize, an eternal reward. And so keep that in mind. Let's take a look at another passage, Philippians chapter 3. And he writes to another group of believers in book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 14. By the way, this isn't all. I could have chosen many, many verses where he references this reward that we look to. He says this, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let's take a look at one more, Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. So that you and I know that there is a reward for endurance, for perseverance. It's not your salvation. You and I don't endure so that we can be saved. Our salvation is settled by what Jesus did. But we're talking about a life lived for Christ and doing God's will while we have life. He writes this, I'm going to read verse 4 as well. Eddie, I don't think I put that down in your notes, but verses 4 and 5. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. And so we recognize, as Paul did, that there is a reward for persevering, for enduring. Paul, right up to the end of his life, never changed his thinking. In his final days in a cell in a dungeon in Rome as a prisoner for the cause of Christ, He would be escorted from that prison cell outside the city to be executed, beheaded, under the Emperor Nero. And I want to read you what Paul had to say in those closing days. It really gives us some insight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. And here we understand by what he's writing that it's coming to the end. His life is coming to a close. He knows it, and history would bear it out. He would truly be executed under Emperor Nero. It's a historical fact. Let's read here. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. You know, Paul, in his letters, particularly in this letter to Timothy, he wrote two letters to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, encouraging him, and he mentored him and spoke to Timothy, committing to him what Timothy would need to know in leading God's people. And he emphasized endurance in these letters. He emphasized enduring in following Christ. So I want us to kind of back up just two chapters to, actually three chapters, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. I'm going to read verse 8 and then go to chapter 2. So Paul writes, he says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength that God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 3. And he writes, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." As we said, sometimes people will hear the good news of salvation and how that it's not by our own efforts, not by how well we do, and we are so glad to hear of God's mercy and forgiveness. But some folks do not want to hear about following him and enduring and going through hard times. And friends, if you honestly take into account the whole counsel of God, you realize, yes, it is by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And also, at the same time, followers of Christ are to follow him through good and through bad. And that's what we speak about endurance. Be ready to endure suffering, even hard times. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 10 here in the same chapter 2. He writes and says, "So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen." He says to Timothy, be willing to endure whatever comes at you for the gospel's sake. We go on down to verses 11 and 12, and he says this. He said, "This is a trustworthy saying." And then he says this in verse 11, "If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is." A trustworthy saying that there is a reward for those who endure. There's no doubt that Paul was encouraged. We read that list, and it probably was not totally inclusive of all that he went through. But he, no doubt, that these things gave him great encouragement as he was going through that. Let's go to chapter 3 now, where he speaks about enduring. I want to go to verses 10 and 11. He says, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So Paul is writing to this young pastor, and he says, "Timothy, you have had a front row seat. You know what I have gone through. You know what my life is about. It would have probably shook somebody loose a long time earlier if they were not intending to follow Christ and endure." And he says, "Timothy," he turns it around. He says, "Understand this. If you intend to live for Christ, you're going to have to go through some of this too." Verse 12, Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And what do we say, church, to you and I? I wish I could stand here and say to you and your life following Christ, look, everybody is going to love what you're about now that you're following Christ. Everybody is going to be cheering you on. Has anybody found that the results have been different for you in some circles? Okay. Maybe even your own family or people that you have known. And you've had to just determine, look, I know this is what God wants, and I believe God's speaking the truth to us, and I'm just going to go with it. So he said, Timothy, don't be surprised when you're misunderstood, when you're maligned or criticized or even mistreated because of what you believe. He was in essence saying to him, don't give up, endure, endure. Some thoughts on enduring this morning. I've got four thoughts I want to just point us to. Enduring will include delayed gratification. All right? That's part of what grit is, isn't it? Perseverance, passion and perseverance, where you value something and you value it enough to where you say no to other things. Let me ask you, do you want to have a good marriage? If you want to have a good marriage, there's some other things you and I better say no to. Do you want to be successful in business, in your endeavors? If you do, there's going to be some things you say no to, like cooking the books, and dishonest treatment, and faulty product that you deliver to others, if you want to be successful in business. So we recognize that enduring will include delayed gratification. This important point for us, obedience to God and immediate reward are not always linked. Did you get that? Obedience to God and immediate reward are not always linked. That's why I'm not going to go back and read it, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the King James Version says, for you have need of patience after you have done the will of God, what? You will receive the promise. You know, I think it'd be good for us to turn to this, Matthew chapter 19, a very interesting conversation that Jesus had with a wealthy young man who said to Jesus, probably a big crowd of people around, and he probably was pretty convinced of his own righteousness, probably assumed that he was in pretty good shape. He said, Jesus, what do I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, all the commandments. And the young man said, I'm doing all those things. And Jesus said, well, if you're doing that, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me. And what does the Bible say? That the young man went away from Jesus because he had many possessions. That's the danger there. But a little bit later on, this is where I think it really gets interesting. Jesus, the disciples say, Lord, if that's the case, who can get into heaven? And Jesus said, you know, with God, all things are possible. And that's where salvation comes in. But here's what Peter says. Peter's been there. He heard what Jesus said. Look in verse 27. Peter said to him, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? So Peter's heard this conversation, and Peter says, Lord, you know, we've left it all behind. The nets, the fishing, our business, we followed you. What are we going to get? And here's what Jesus said to him, and that's why we recognize that obedience to God is not always linked with immediate reward. Jesus said this, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. So, you know what Jesus is saying there, Peter basically is, don't look for the whole package right here and now. You know, in the economy of God, obedience to God often brought reward in this life. I'm not going to turn and read it, but I want to encourage you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. This is the word that was given to God's people, and it's basically this. You honor God, he's going to honor you. The things that you look to, you'll find blessing. If you fail to honor God, here's what's going to happen. It's laid out. And so in the economy of God, some things are an immediate reward. How many of you have ever done the will of God and you were blessed? I mean, pronto. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Okay. How many of you have ever done the will of God and you're still looking for the reward? Okay. Look, we don't know why and just how it all works out, but what we have from God is that he rewards those who look to him. By the way, we are rewarded as believers for our faith now. We're rewarded by God's forgiveness. We're rewarded by God's peace. We're rewarded by God's presence. But we also know that we're rewarded later. We've read some of those passages. I'm not going to repeat them for you. So that's the first thing. Enduring will include delayed gratification. And secondly, enduring will also include consequences. So this makes sense. If I determine this is what God wants me to do, and I want to please God, I want to honor him, and I know there's going to be some tough patches, it's not always going to be a cakewalk, there are some consequences. Difficulties, problems, trials, persecution. You know, Jesus told his followers, you can find it in John 15, he said, look, if you're hated, don't be surprised because the world hated me. And they're not going to call you their friend because they're not interested in me. He said, don't be surprised at that. But do you know there's some consequences on the other side of the coin as well? And that is the strengthening of our character, the deepening of our trust in God, and giving us greater confidence in God's strength to deal with those difficulties and challenges that come our way. And there's some important verses that we should take a look at. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read this passage in verses 3 through 5. Apostle Paul's writing to another group of believers. And here's what he writes about difficulties and troubles. I'm going to start in verse 3 and read through verse 5. He says, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And so we recognize that difficulties and trials that come our way, if we determine to push on through and determine, God, help me to endure in this and persevere, that it develops our character and our strength. There's a big difference between something that is tested and untested. Okay? And that's what this is speaking about, how that God strengthens us by going through these things. We find out that, hey, God did help me go through that. But if you and I pack it all in and run away from difficulties in the Christian life because it's just too hard, because we didn't sign up for that, then we will not gain that strengthening in our character. And that's what Paul's writing about. Let's take a look at James. He also speaks about it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let me just ask you to think about this. How many of you have wanted to run away from some difficulty as a follower of Christ? You just felt like this would be a whole lot easier just to bail. I'm out of here. And sometimes you need to bail in some situations, but I'm telling you, in your life as a follower of Christ, if you have faced a challenge, you knew this is what God wanted you to keep on doing what is right, and he always wants you and I to do what is right, even though it may get costly, to do the right thing, to do what is honoring to him, and to be in line with his kingdom. How many have ever pushed on through, and when you got through it, you said, you know what, I'm glad I just did what God wanted me to do. Is that the testimony of anybody here today? You know what that's all about, that, all right? So let's read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now that word perfect gets misinterpreted in the sense that without fault. What it really is pointing to is maturity, that you are growing up, that you are moving out of childhood and adolescence as a follower of Christ, that you're growing up, you're maturing, all right, complete. So we recognize that it does include consequences. There's one more passage on this. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And in this it says, so be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. By the way, he was writing to people who were being actively persecuted for their faith. In our time, somebody may say, make some kind of snide remark about our faith, and we feel like we want to run and hide. Has that ever happened to anybody? Somebody, you know, points out some failure of Christians, and we think somehow we are being persecuted. Now, friends, that's not persecution, okay? That's just somebody who doesn't like what Christians do. Persecution, they're writing about here, is when people are trying to kill you because of your faith, all right? So we need to get that understood. That's what he's writing to. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So problems and trials and persecution, you know, as believers, we're not called to deny the pain of those things. Nobody's here to say, you know, you shouldn't be crying. You should not be grieving loss. You should not be saying, hey, I'm hurting. We do acknowledge, we grieve and express our sorrow, but we are also encouraged not to give up and also not to give in to resentment and bitterness, but to, like what we've read about here, to say, hey, you know, I don't like this that I'm going through. I wouldn't necessarily sign up and say, please give me some more of that, okay, please. But what we do realize is they have a purpose, and it's a purifying purpose. Sometimes God is taking care of some things in our lives that need to be dealt with, and sometimes he's building the strength that we need to go on in our Christian walk and follow him. Here's the third. I got some more in this message, and I don't want to get too much time because we have communion today, and we do want to take time for that, but I think I'll include this because it's important, and leave the next for a next message. But the third one is this: enduring will be helped by the encouragement and the accountability of others. Our enduring in this life of following Christ will be helped by the encouragement and the accountability that is offered from other people. You know, trying to do the Christian life alone is not what was intended. And we know that because in our Bibles, it speaks about the body of Christ. And it speaks about our connection one to another. And we've heard today from testimony of those who've gone through trials, gone through tough times, to say, you believers here in this church have helped me and been a blessing to me. That lets us know the body of Christ, we're intended to be connected and to care one for another. Let's go once again to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 23 through 25. And this was the encouragement the writer of the book of Hebrews was giving to people who just basically said, well, what's the use of church, of gathering together? It's just a pain in the neck. I don't even always like the people that are going down there. Just got to put up with them. But here's what he says to them. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I have here a little reference to another passage. I'm not going to read it, have you turn to it, but it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, where it speaks about a threefold cord is not easily broken. And it talks about the importance of people being together, the people standing and having each other's back. And that's really what church is to be about. And we do. We gather regularly. In fact, each Sunday we're here, unless a hurricane or a pandemic is coming through. And we're gathering as followers of Christ in spite of its challenges. And let's just be honest about it. Being a part of a group of believers, it's got its challenges, doesn't it? We don't all see things the same way. We don't, as we've said before, we don't all vote the same way. We don't put as much emphasis on even different doctrines and things that are done in the Christian life. But the love of God and the love for one another should be enough to keep us together in the grace of God. And that's what we try to do. It's what we try to do, move together. And so we meet regularly to worship God, to be instructed and encouraged and corrected by God's word, and also to find encouragement and accountability in our fellowship and being together. And that's important. It's important that we recognize that and regard that in how we treat each other, both here at church on Sunday morning, but also down at the grocery store on Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. And also how we treat each other when we're talking on the phone to our friends. We don't let gossip destroy the fellowship that is intended to be here. These things are important. And so there is a responsibility. And so our enduring can be helped by the encouragement and the accountability of others. I'm going to have to finish and close it out today. We'll finish up, Lord willing, next week, because there's another important point that can really help us in as we seek to follow the Lord, as we seek to endure. So we talked today about enduring. Just in closing my part, I'm going to turn it over to Pedro and those who are coming to serve communion in just a few minutes. But as you look on your life in following Christ, again, we're not talking about earning your salvation. Hopefully that is as clear a point that you can know. It's not by our own works of righteousness. But I'm addressing this to followers of Jesus Christ. If you're unsure about who you're following, what your faith is in, we'll be glad to take the Bible and show you, as we do, try to tell each week. But we must endure. We must push on in following Christ, even when we get knocked down. I can't help but think of a preacher I heard, this is decades ago, when I was studying to be a pastor. His name was Lester Roloff, a preacher from out in Texas, as Texan as I've ever heard anybody. And he was had a children's home. He worked with drug addicts and people struggling with addictions decades ago. I'm talking 40 plus years ago. And he was under fire from the state of Texas. And he was trying to help and trying to be a blessing. And I remember him getting up before a group of young preachers, and he was telling them about what they had done and try to shut them down and make them out to be an enemy. He was threatened with jail, of all things. And he said this. He said, "I think I'm just going to go on anyway." That's what he said. "I'm going to just go on anyway." And that's sometimes, friends, what you and I have to do. Yeah, we're disappointed. Yeah, our heart's broken. Yeah, that was burnt my hide, what happened to me by whoever. But I'm going to just go on anyway. Lord, you have called me to follow you. So, well, let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts this morning. I'm going to ask Pedro and those who are serving communion, would you all come and take your place up here? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this call to endure today. And Lord, thank you for the foundation for us to endure. Lord, to look around to those that we are responsible to and those that we are responsible for. And Lord, also to look ahead to the reward that you have promised to those who are faithful, who do press on, and those who endure. And Lord, please help us today in our own walks, our own lives, to determine to do your will. Thank you for giving us strength, Lord. We know we cannot do a thing without you. And we pray, Father, that you would help us as your people in this very thing of enduring. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.